You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Kings 17. I've got something I want to share with you, just kind of on my heart. I've been meditating on. And this passage of Scripture, actually, I've preached before, preached it in different ways. In fact, I preached this in a men's breakfast a couple months ago in a message called A Place Called There. You know, that's not what I'm teaching on tonight, but I am using the same passage of Scripture. You know, that's what's so cool about Scripture. I think it's so neat is you can take it and preach it so many different ways. Not that it changes all the time. It's just there's so much truth in there, you don't get it all the first time. Amen? And you go back over and you go, wow, I didn't see that. And you go back, whoa, that's great. That's wonderful. So you could preach a message on the same Scripture and then preach another message on the same Scripture and then preach another message on the same Scripture. And it'd be totally different messages. Same Scripture, you're just bringing out different points. I heard Brother Osteen preach on this years ago about a place called There. And this is where Elijah the prophet was told by God to go to the brook Cherith. And he says, I'll command the ravens to feed you there. And, of course, the whole thing there about the word there is getting there. Get where God tells you to go. Amen. And that's paramount and that's important. And that's, you know, part of what I'm sharing tonight, but that's not going to be the main thing. I think that when you're in position, then the blessing comes. That's exactly the way it works. That's what the Scripture says. It's not that God's not around. He's always around. But you're not where you need to be. Are you with me? And there is where God tells you to be. There is doing what God's telling you to do. And until you do what God's telling you to do, until you're where God tells you to be, you won't get the full blessing of God on your life. Because God's unchanging. He's unmoving in that sense. He is good and he's not evil. He'll bless good, but he won't bless evil. Are you with me? So the degree you want to follow him, to that degree he'll bless you. It just depends on how much of God you want. Amen? But he's flowing all the time. We're not making God move. We're not flipping switches, turning God on or off. I've always said this for years. If you could imagine God flowing like right down the middle of this aisle, the power of God's flowing down this aisle, what happens when you get in faith, you don't change that flow. You get up out of your seat and you get in the flow. But God's flowing. He's a healer. He's a savior. He's a peace giver. He's a life giver. He will always be that. Nothing you do is going to change that. But what you do will change you. It'll put you in a position to get that, to receive that. Jesus died for your sins and mine 2,000 years ago. It's been available all that time. It was there all the time your whole life, but it wasn't until you called on God that you received it. Are you out there? So it's not about God being in position. It's about us being in position. And we just need to get to where we're supposed to be. Amen? And always remember, this is the thing I want to impress upon you tonight, is that God can do anything, and he delights in doing the impossible. He loves doing things that men can't do. So if you're just looking for God to do something that a man can do, and you're just looking for your answer to your prayer through the normal channels that you get through men, then you're cutting yourself off, and you're tying God's hands from helping you. Because God's got a million ways of blessing you. And it's not limited to the ways you think or I think. I mean, can you imagine a tax collector coming up and asking Jesus for taxes and Jesus telling Peter, hey, cast a hook out there, get a fish, and we'll pull a piece of gold out of his mouth. Now, that's not the normal way things happen, is it? Are y'all out there or have you gone home? Okay. But that was a miracle that took place. Can you imagine at the feast of John, the second chapter, where there was a wedding feast and they ran out of wine and the bridegroom comes up and says, hey, you know, we got trouble here. We're out of wine. We don't know what we're going to do. And Jesus tells him, go fill these six pots full of water and serve that. And he turned water into wine. Well, that's an impossibility. That's something man can't do. In other words, that just doesn't happen. But God does things like that. And salvation itself is an impossibility with men. Mark the 10th chapter, that's what Jesus told you know, Peter and Philip and all them, they ask, well, who can be saved? And he said, well, with men, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And I love what he says again in the Mark 9:23. Speaking of us, he said, and all things are possible to him that believeth. Woo! Now, I'm not saying that you copy those little things like looking for gold in every fish's mouth. Might not be a bad idea. Every time you catch one, just check, just be sure. You don't know. You know, maybe it happened. But you ought to believe God for whatever it is you're believing Him for and leave the avenue, the channel, the means up to Him. That's not generally the way we do it. We don't just want to be blessed, or we don't just want an answer to our prayer. Maybe it's a financial answer. We don't just want the thing, the need met. We want to tell God how to meet it. Isn't that right? You know, we'll say, Lord, you send somebody over here with this, and you send somebody with that, or we'll wear the grass out between the front door and the mailbox, check in the mailbox, see if the check's coming in the mail, you know, see if that's going to be it. And we're orchestrating. We're not believing God. We're believing a ways and means. We're not believing ends here. We're not believing for the end. We're believing for the way to happen the way we want it to happen. And that's God's business, really. It's God's. In fact, half the fun is just seeing how God's going to do it. But don't worry about how. Don't put, you know, those kind of stipulations on God. That's not in the Scripture at all. When they believe for healing, they just believe for healing. Some of them came and grabbed a hold of His garment. Sometimes He'd just speak a word and they'd be healed. One case, He spit in their eye. Hello? But He was the healer. Are you with me? And they were believing Him for the healing. And it didn't always come the way they thought, but it came. It came if they believed and they trusted Him. So here we have some unusual things happen here with Elijah. But the bottom line and behind all this is the fact that whatever is necessary, God can do it. And God can do what man can't do. And God does the impossible. And we need to have that kind of expectation. We need to think of God in those terms. Often we think in terms of the job, the paycheck, the economy, the government. Are you with me? How old we are, what our options are, what our talents are. You know, we think of money in terms of that, or provision in terms of that. Whether we're in a small town or a big town, whether we got rich relatives or don't have rich relatives, all these things, you know, collect in our mind and we start trying to do the math. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't work out. But we're still not trusting God if that's what we're looking at. We've got to look to God and to God alone. Thank God for jobs. Thank God for, you know, just common. We need to use common sense. We do need to work and all those kinds of things. But when we're doing everything we can do, God will do what we can't do. He does the impossible. Now, in 1 Kings 17, you know the story. You ought to be familiar with it. This is where Elijah comes on the scene. He's a prophet, Elijah the Tishbite. He was of the inhabitants of Gilead and said unto Ahab, Ahab was the king of the north. You know, after Solomon died, the kingdom was split between his son Rehoboam and then another offshoot called Jeroboam. And Jeroboam took the tribes of the north. And Rehoboam just got stuck with Judah and Benjamin. That's all he had. And so you often, when you read, once you get past Solomon, you'll find them talking about the kings of Israel, and you talk about the kings of Judah, and you'll hear them referring to Judah and Israel. That's when the kingdom was divided at that point. And Ahab was the king of Israel. He was, in fact, Elijah ministered in the northern tribes. That's where he was a prophet and prophesied to the northern tribes. And so it says here, he said to Ahab, who was king at that time, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. In other words, famine was coming. And it was a terrible famine. It dried up. I mean, it was, you know, in fact, the Bible refers to this in James, the New Testament refers to this in James, the fifth chapter, over there in the 16th verse or 17th verse. He says, Elijah was a man subject to like passion as we are, who prayed that it rain not. For 3.5 years, and it rained not. Then he prayed that it rained, and it rained. So for 3.5 years, it didn't rain by his word. Now, I don't think it was just arbitrary. He understood the law. He understood the blessing of the law and the curses of the law. If you go read Deuteronomy 28 chapter, if you serve God, blessings come. If you turn away from God and serve other gods, curses come. So as a prophet, he was pronouncing on them the judgment that was already been pronounced because of their sin. Are you with me? He was just making observation. He was just saying, it's come. I'm the prophet of God. Cursings are coming upon you because of your sin. Now, God doesn't just curse people. Your sins curse you. Are you with me? In fact, God's not really doing anything to you when those bad things happen. He's abandoning you. He is withdrawing from you because of your sin, because He can't fellowship with sin. In fact, all through the Old Testament, you'll see things like, I have abandoned you because you abandoned me. I have forsaken you because you have forsaken me. Because you have forsaken me. My hand's no longer there. I've removed my hand in that sense. God's hand is good. Are you with me? not evil. But our sins bring this on us. And here in this case, the whole nation of Israel, especially the tribes of the north where Ahab was king, they worshipped other gods. They worshipped the Baal, they worshipped Ashtaroth. In fact, later on, Elijah winds up killing 450 prophets of Baal. And there were also 400 prophets of Ashtaroth at that same meeting where he called fire down from heaven. But that's the state of Israel. They weren't worshiping God. They were worshiping golden calves and all these wild things. And so curses did come upon him. So he pronounced it upon him, but I think this is fascinating. Even though this nation was cursed, even though this nation went into famine, even though everything in the world went wrong there, it says, and the word of the Lord, second verse, came unto him saying, get thee hence, turn eastward, hide yourself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Hallelujah, somebody. Now, obviously, we just preach on just that point. Are you there? You need to get there. There is where God wants you to be. Amen. But the thing I want to emphasize, and that's a great message, and I'll preach that again sometime. The thing I want to emphasize here is it doesn't matter what's happening all around you. It doesn't matter what's happening in the land, as it were. It doesn't matter if 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It'll not come nigh you if you put your trust in the Lord. In fact, God always provides and supplies supernaturally in impossible situations, takes care of his own when they trust him. When everything else is going wrong, he shows up and he takes care of his own. You remember when all the plagues came on Egypt? Oh, come on. There were terrible plagues came on Egypt. Waters turning to blood. I mean, frogs and lice and boils and darkness and then finally death of the firstborn. All that time, when that great nation of Egypt, because of their sin, because of the rebellion of their leader, Pharaoh, because of that curse that came on them, during the midst of all that, the Bible says there was light in the land of Goshen, and there were no plagues that came on their sheep. There was no plagues that came on their people. And when they put the blood over the doorpost, not a one of their children died in the death of the firstborn. God supernaturally protected them. And he always will. That's why you don't need to be swayed or deterred, you know, by the economy, by the balance on your checkbook. I mean, you need to be aware of it. Stay with me. I think you ought to balance your checkbook. But you don't need to let that determine your future or your faith, because our faith's not in that. Our faith's in God. Now, use wisdom, but believe God. Are you out there? I'm not saying go write checks you can't cash. No. Don't twist what I'm saying. I'm saying trust God when it doesn't balance out right, trust God. Don't go write a check, trust. That's not faith, okay? That's not faith at all. But God will make some way, somehow, let him figure that thing out. Are you with me? But you trust him. In this case, he just told him to go by this certain brook, and he went there. It's an amazing thing. Fifth verse says, so he went, and he did according to the word of the Lord. You know, I don't know about everybody else. I just know for me and my household, we're going to serve God. I know that whatever happens, I'm going to do according to the word of the Lord. And I know that if I will do according to the word of God, the word of the Lord, what he tells me, if I'll obey him the best I know how and trust him, he'll make a way where there is no way. He'll do impossible things. Ooh, hallelujah. Might be checks in the mail. Might be inheritances. I don't know. It might be insurance checks coming back for you. It might be, you know, overpaid payments. It could be anything. Who knows? Could be promotions. Could be raises. Could be new jobs. Could be inheritances. See, there's just a million ways God can make this happen. Could be a neighbor just come by. Who knows? Could be somebody you hadn't heard of for years, had you on your heart and sent you something. You know, it could happen. Oh, hallelujah. Are you with me? But our eyes aren't on any of that. Our eyes are on him. And are we obeying him? Listen, I believe God knows. You know, I often think of this. I'm not perfect. You're not. None of us are perfect in the natural. I'm perfect in the spirit. I'm complete in Jesus. I'm complete in him. But I know that I'm renewing my mind on a continual basis and submitting my body to the Word and buffeting my body and working on areas. We all do that. We're getting better, obviously. But I wouldn't say I'm perfect naturally speaking. No, I'm perfect spiritually. But that's got to manifest into my life. And that comes with, you know, years of doing the Word and doing the Word. And we get better and we get better. And we're not going to be perfect that way on this side of heaven. Are you with me? We're perfect spiritually. I'm complete in Him. I'm the righteousness of God in Him. But for the most part, I've served God for years and years and years and been faithful here in the church. You know, many of you have been faithful here in the church for years. Many of you have been faithful to God to serve Him. Why in the world wouldn't God bless you? I mean, why would God's not mad at you. He loves you. He's for you. He wants to bless you. You've been a giver. You've been a tither. And I think of our church, all the money we've given over the years. That's why we're so blessed, because we just keep giving. We keep giving. Because we love to give. We keep helping people because we love to help people. That's what the ministry, the food ministry is about. That's what Hallelujah Night's about that we've got coming up. That's why I come in here day in and day out, you know, and preach and teach. And, you know, sometimes I feel like doing it. Sometimes I don't always feel like doing it. Sometimes, you know, I'm just human like anybody else. But this is my calling. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is the right thing to do. This is what the Word of the Lord is for me. Are you with me? And I know if I continue to do that, God will bless me, and He has. I mean, we just got a tremendous blessing the other day, just out of the blue. Man, it was awesome. Awesome. Woo. Everybody say awesome. Awesome. Just out of the blue, out of nowhere. Well, it was somewhere. It came from somewhere, but, you know, I didn't. You know, ever been sucker punched with something bad? I got sucker punched with something good the other day. Woo. Hallelujah. It can happen. But, you know, we just keep doing what we're doing. We keep obeying God, and we're where God wants us to be. We keep doing what He says. That's what you've got to trust in. God does not forget an offering you've made. He doesn't forget a tithe you tithe. He doesn't forget a service you've gone to. He doesn't forget one act of obedience you've done all your life. He remembers everything you've done. He sees every seed you ever planted. He's heard every prayer you ever prayed. And He is not a man that He'd forget that. And He's not unrighteous that He would forget that. He knows what you've done. He knows your heart. And He is going to take care of you. Woo! And maybe in an impossible way. So don't limit God. Let's don't tie God's hands. Let's start acting like He's not going to come through. I don't know what I'm going to do. This didn't come through, and that didn't come through, and this didn't happen, and that didn't happen. Well, we're trusting God. We're not trusting that. Well, that's the way He did it last time. Well, He may do it another way this time. I don't know. He might not do it that way this time. Trust Him. Don't trust the way He did it. Y'all catching what I'm saying? Okay, so here he was. He obeyed God. And he went according to the word of the Lord, fifth verse. And he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh, or meat, in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. Hallelujah. I mean, he got two good meals a day, every day. We don't know how long it took, you know, somewhere within a 3.5 year period there. I mean, he spent some time in another place later on, but he was there for quite some time, and God took care of him. Wow. Birds brought food. That's just amazing. And it just goes on. Didn't make a big deal of it. Just says, and he caused the ravens to feed them, you know. They brought bread. I don't know where they got the bread. Where in the world did they get the bread? I wonder about that. And the flesh, I'm sure some of it was probably cooked. Probably flew into somebody's window and just ripped off a chicken leg or, flew back over and dropped it. You say, oh, I don't know about that. Well, the whole thing's kind of weird anyway, okay? Anything can happen. So don't think God can't do that. This wasn't just raw flesh, I don't think, because they couldn't. It was against, they couldn't eat anything with the blood in it. And God wasn't going to give them something that was just raw in that respect. And it wasn't pig, because they couldn't eat hog. They couldn't eat pigs, you know. So it was good meat. Probably deer, probably something. You know, who knows what it was, venison or cattle or sheep or something. But I'm sure a lot of it was cooked. I mean, I know I'm speculating, but you can speculate too. It just says flesh. It doesn't say, you know, what it was. But it was edible. Amen. And it says he did this according to the word of the Lord, he went there and God took care of him. And the ravens, 6th verse, brought the bread and fish in the morning and bread and fish in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. The brook's dried up. What are we going to do? Oh, my Lord, what are we going to do now? Oh, my. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, my God, what am I going to do? Are you with me? He didn't do that. He didn't say that. Because he wasn't believing the ravens, and he wasn't believing the brook. He was believing God, the God of the ravens and the God of the brook. Yeah. Woo! So it came to pass. It says that the brook dried up. After a while, the brook dried up. See, God got a thousand ways he can make this happen. I mean, we get all locked into one way, and we want to build a wall around that thing and create a doctrine. Isn't that something? You know, God moves in a certain way, and we try to think of everything we did that night, and then we try to repeat everything the next time, see if we can get God to move that way again. And it wasn't any of that at all. It was just God. Are you with me? If we just trust God, he'll move. Sometimes he moves in spite of what we do, not because of it. He moves because we believe, and then in spite of some other things we do, he still moves because we are trusting him. And it came to pass after a while the brook dried up, and because there had been no rain in the land, and the word of the Lord came to him again. See, if you're in tune, you're listening to God, God will always tell you what to do. He'll always provide. But you've got to be listening. You've got to be, you know, you got to be in tune. You've got to spend time with the Lord. You know, you got to keep serving him. The way God does things changes all the time, you know. But God himself doesn't. He never changes. He is good, and he'll always provide. And it says, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now you might think, well, this is kind of crazy, God. Now, this widow's probably struggling herself, and you're sending me over for her to take care of me? Well, you know, when you think about the fact he just fed you for I don't know how long with birds, this is not that out of line. Are you with me? In fact, what happened here, a couple miracles took place. Not only was Elijah provided for, but this woman herself got a miracle because of her obedience. And God did it in a way no one had ever thought. Well, I'll tell you what we need. We need a couple millionaires to come in here. Boy, this church would go over the top if we just get us a couple millionaires in here. Well, God provided Elijah with a widow woman. Are you listening? I tell you, that guy, he's got money. We need to get him in the church. He's got money. We get that guy in here, but we'll... Wait a minute. Who are we trusting here? Are we trusting God, or are we trusting somebody with money? I believe God does send guys with money, ladies with money, men with money. I have no problem with that. But I'm really not believing for that. I'm believing God. And you can tell because I went into falsetto when I said it. I'm believing God. You have to guard your heart, because what you'll do, you'll start believing God for a way, for a means, or ways to make it happen, and you're not really believing him for the thing. You're believing him for a way to do it, and like God is limited, there's only one way he can do this. He's got to send somebody, some guy with a lot of money. Not necessarily. He can do it. He's a thousand ways he can do it. Somebody just sent a check in the mail. That can happen. They don't even have to come here. God could prosper everybody in this church, and everybody got a promotion and a raise, and all of us collectively be more than what one man could do by himself. I mean, there's so many different ways he could do it. Why are we believing those kinds of things? Why are we praying those kinds of ways? Lord, send people in here with money. Send people in here with money. No. Lord, thank you for supplying our need according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, thank you for opening up the windows of heaven, pouring us out a blessing we don't have room enough to receive. Lord, we're tithers and we're givers. You said you'd bless us. Lord, pour it on us. Come on. However you want to do it, doesn't matter to me. I'm just believing you to do it. Praise God. Amen? And that's the attitude that we should have. And that's obviously, you know, Elijah didn't question God's way of doing it. He said, yes, sir, and he went. There's no indication here that Elijah said, I'm going to a brook and ravens are going to feed me. God, come on now. You got to give me a little more information. No, he just went. And now you want me to leave here and go to a widow's house? God, I think we need to talk a little longer here. No, he didn't question that. He just did what God said, that's all God's looking for is obedience and faith. Amen? Okay. I hope this is helping you. Praise God. So it says, arise, go to Zarephath, ninth verse, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose, and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, fetch me, I pray you, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, and bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And listen to what she said. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and for my son, that we may eat it and die. Now, Elijah, I can imagine. Elijah's saying here, I knew it. I knew it. God brought me out here to die too. No, he didn't say that, did he? This is what God's going to meet my need with? This is never going to work. Did he say that? No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that at all. He knew he was doing what God said to do, so God was going to make this happen. Somehow, some way, he's going to make it happen because he was obeying God. See, that's the attitude we ought to have. If I'm obeying God, God's going to make it happen. Even when it doesn't look like it can happen, it's going to happen. Some way, somehow, he's going to make it happen. He is the God of the impossible. He just got through feeding them with ravens and, you know, bread and meat and drinking out of the brook. And now he says, go over here. Well, you know, he knew something that woman didn't know. I like that. In fact, him trusting God actually got her in faith. Notice what it says. The 13th verse. And Elijah said to her, fear not. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. This is what will kill it. See, this is what kills the blessing. It's what stops the flow. And many times the provision is fear. Do not let fear creep in. Don't let fear creep in because you know so much. Because you really don't know that much. God knows a whole lot more than you do. Don't let fear creep in because you know you got an inventory of what you got and what you got coming in and what you got going out, and there's no way this is ever going to happen. You let fear creep in because you've done the math and it doesn't add up. Are you with me? But he said, fear not. Fear not. Ooh, hallelujah. Fear not. Go and do as you have said. Do what you can. Do what you do. But make me a little cake first. Come on. Give an offering. Do something for the Lord. Put God first in this thing. Let's acknowledge God. Let's make him a part of this deal. He's the prophet, in that sense. He says, go and make a little cake first for me, and then bring it to me, and after that, make one for you and for your son. Boy, hallelujah. You know, you don't ever want to forget God. When you're down your lowest and when you're at the bottom of the barrel, you need to remember to put God first. Always put God first. Always. Well, I can't afford to tithe. Well, no, you can't afford not to tithe. I can't afford to give. Well, you can't afford not to give. You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? You hadn't had the trouble I had. Oh, yeah, I've had the trouble you've had. I've had late payments and, you know, I've had years where it just looked like I wasn't going to make it, but we kept tithing, we kept giving, and we tithed and tithed. And we always tithed first, and then we paid our bills. Are you with me? Always did that. That's a decision you have to make. You have to make that call in your life. We made it years ago. I made it when I got saved, and we just decided not to change it since. I made a commitment to Brenda when we got married, and I made a commitment to God when I got saved. And, you know, it's just always been that way. It's not a question. We don't think about it. We don't second guess it. Are you with me? We just did it because it's the right thing to do. And we've had struggles and we've had trials, but God has brought us through them all. Hallelujah. Time and time again, he's done that. Oh, hallelujah. I've seen it happen. Oh, many of you could stand and testify. I'm preaching to the choir. I understand that. But if you'll be faithful to God, if you'll do what God says to do, God does the impossible. In fact, he delights in doing the impossible just to meet your financial need. This is all money here. This is finances. This is food and finances. Well, she went and did it. and put him first. He goes on and says, 14th verse, "For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days." Now, she had just enough for one cake. She got in there and found she had enough for all of them. And when it was time to eat again, she went back in. There was enough again for everybody. Now, that's supernatural. Are you with me? You know, God does things like that. I think our expedition has 260,000 miles on it. And we've never touched the engine, never touched the transmission. 260,000 miles. And I know, I mean, a lot of people get that. But, you know, I've had cars that didn't get that. Are you with me? And you know what was so blessing about that? It was like an Eddie Bauer expedition, fully loaded, leather seats. When we got it brand new, somebody gave it to us brand new, had us meet them at the car dealership, called us on the phone, asked us to come over there. They wanted to give us this brand new, out of the blue, I mean, just blew us away. And I thought, I've never had that happen before in my life. And that car has been the biggest blessing to us. It's a 2003 expedition. Here it is, 2013. We've got 260,000 miles on the thing. Of course, I'm going to get another car. We're going to get another car, but I don't think we ought to push the limit on it. Are you with me? I'm not about to put tape over the gas gauge and then try to get it. Are you with me? You know, although it happened, I know someone did that and it worked. But okay, listen to this. I'll wrap it up. Give me 2 minutes here. I'll wrap this up. "For thus says the word of the Lord, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spake to Elijah." I tell you, you'll not go under according to the word of the Lord. You will make it according to the word of the Lord. Your finances will increase according to the word of the Lord. Are you with me? Maybe not according to the economy. Maybe not according to what the world says. But if you're obeying God and you're where God wants you to be and you're at that place called there, as it were, and you're believing God, not the way he's doing it, but just believing him, he has got ways you never dreamed or imagined of blessing you. Sometimes we're believing for money for a car and he just wants to give you the car. Sure. Sometimes we're believing, you know, for money. It may be just a promotion that you're able to pay the payment. I don't know. He's got all kinds of ways of making it happen. Let's just believe him for it and let him figure that out. And that's half the fun, amen? Just seeing how he does it.